session, sir. Hallelujah. Before we get started, in case some of you didn't have a chance to do this yet, there's somebody standing near you, beside you, behind you, perhaps behind you, in front of you. Would you look at someone, look them dead in the eyes, and I want you to say, I love you. Come on, say it. I love you. I love you. I love you. This is how they will know we are his disciples, that we have love one toward another. Praise the Lord. So thankful for the souls that were baptized this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, once you are baptized, that's not the end. That's only the beginning. Because the scripture says that after they were baptized, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And so it is so important that you attend church, attend Bible studies, get rooted, study, and learn the doctrine, because this doctrine will save you and others. Amen. And more than now than ever before, we need to be people of the word. Amen. I believe every born-again child of God ought to have their own Bible. Amen. And not only should you have your own Bible, I'm going to make somebody mad now. You should bring your Bible to church. Oh, yes. Because no soldier is going to go to war without his weapon. And the Bible is the sword of the Spirit. And it's the Bible that we use against the devil. It is written. And now more than ever before, the battle is intensifying, and we need to intensify with it. So I encourage you, if you don't have a Bible, get one. Study it, write in it, mark it, color it up, make it yours, and bring it with you to the house of the Lord. Everyone say amen? Praise God. Thank you, Pastor Shindle, for your kindness and hospitality, and such a great, great joy to be with you all here. Amen. This is a great, wonderful church. Amen. And I think that the Lord's blessings are upon us after all that you have endured in the different unexpected calamities, and yet you're still here and you're still having church and people are still getting saved. Ah, that's something right there. That's amazing. That's amazing. And if you are visiting with us, and this might be your first time, second time, but I challenge you, come and be with us three times in a row without missing. Yeah, that's right. And I promise you, something get a hold of you. Yeah. And you'll recognize there ain't no other place in town like this church right here. I believe it. But there's something here. There's something powerful. And God has shown himself over and over, and he's going to do it again tonight. I want to invite you, if you will, to open your Bible to the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew, beginning in verse number 1. I'm going to read down to verse number 13, Matthew chapter 25. And here we find Jesus is speaking prophetically concerning his return. It is in that section of prophecy, Matthew chapter 24 and 25, when they asked the Lord, Lord, when will these things take place? The destruction of Jerusalem. Lord, when will these things happen? And Lord, what is the sign of your coming again? And Lord, when is the end of the world? And in these verses, the Lord began to explain to them And so in the 25th chapter, the Lord pulls back the curtain and gives us a spiritual truth in this parable. Chapter 25, beginning in verse number 1, Jesus said, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps, and they went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil." Somebody say, no oil. "They took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight," there it is again. It was midnight this morning. It's midnight again. "And at midnight, there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, not so, lest there be not enough for us in you. But go you rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy," guess what happened? "The bridegroom came. And they that were ready," "and they that were ready," he's coming back only for those that are ready, "and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not.'" The last verse: "Watch therefore, be on the alert, open your eyes, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." And I'm here to remind us one more time, he is coming. And when the rapture of the church takes place, it's only going to happen one time. It'll be too late to pray. It'll be too late to make up your mind. He's only coming back for those that are ready. Glory, hallelujah. I want to be ready. How about you? I want to be ready. You want to be ready? I want to be ready. Y'all want to be ready? Anybody back there want to be ready? Anybody want to be ready? Hallelujah. The older I get and the longer I live in this world, the less I like it, because it's getting worse and worse. I want to talk to you tonight on this subject. Give us your oil. Give us your oil. Pastor, would you pray for us tonight?
Lord, we ask you to touch our hearts. Lord, let conviction come in this house. Clear our hearts for the coming of your world and your kingdom. We give you the glory.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. That's right. Clap your hands to the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. Is that Charles? That's my guest, y'all. I'm so glad to see you. Praise the Lord. And all of our guests that are here tonight, we're so thrilled that you're here. Amen. Give us your oil. In the 25th chapter, Jesus is speaking to us about something that is soon to come to pass, and that is the bridegroom coming back for the bride. The bridegroom is, all right, y'all gotta play, y'all gotta do it with me now. The bridegroom is, and the bride is the, that's right, he's coming back for the church. Now, the Lord begins to tell this story to give us this spiritual principle. The kingdom of heaven is like unto 10 young maidens, 10 young girls who were planning to go to a wedding. They were planning to go to the wedding. They were expecting to go to the wedding. They wanted to go to the wedding. They were preparing to go to the wedding. And just in case some of you may not know it tonight, you all have an invitation to a wedding. Hallelujah. The marriage supper of the Lamb is being prepared. Now, these 10 young ladies, I believe, is a type of the church. The church that is expecting to go, wanting to go, planning to go. But what the Lord tells us here, that among these 10, there were two groups. 5 were foolish and 5 were wise, which in a sense is telling me that in any church service, you're going to always have two types of people. Amen. You're going to have those that are wise and you're going to have the other kind. Yes, yes. Now, from this vantage point, looking out across the congregation, it's not really hard to tell who's who. See, the foolish come to church with an attitude. They come in haughty. They come in with a proud look. They walk in the door with their arms crossed. Spirit crossed. Eyes crossed. They come in and they sit down and they stare the preacher down. Just, all right, let's see what you got. Come on, preacher, move me. I'm here to tell you tonight, I ain't here to move nobody. I'm not here to put on a show. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm here to make a difference between you going to heaven or hell. That's my only job. Hallelujah. You don't have to like me. You don't have to invite me back. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not here to tickle your ears. But the foolish just sit back, and there's a spirit of resistance. They look and just say, well, I don't see why I got to clap. I don't see why I got to stand up. I don't see why I got to sit down. I don't see why I got to shout. I don't see why I got to sing. I don't see why I got to smile. I don't see. And that's it. You don't see. Hallelujah. And you sit there with this attitude. However, there's another group, the wise. The wise enter into his gates with thanksgiving. They enter into his courts with praise. You don't even need no music. They come in with joy. They come in with a dance. They were praising God on the way to church. They sit on the edge of their seat and they say, come on, preacher. Preach it to me, preacher. I need to hear a word from the Lord. That's the wise. Hallelujah. And they all gather in together. And the Bible says the foolish, verse number 3, took their lamps and watch this, took no oil with them. They took their lamps. They had a little bit of oil. They had a little bit, but they brought no oil with them. Wow. Why do you suppose they brought no oil? See, it's dark out there. It's real dark out there. And the journey from here to heaven is a long way. And you don't want to be halfway full. You don't want to be a quarter full. You want to make sure you got enough oil to make it all the way. Now, these young ladies brought their lamps. They had a little bit, but they brought no oil with them. Now, when I look at that, I'm like, you know, that's like some people come to church and they don't bring no worship with them. They bring no praise with them. They have no song in their heart. They don't have a testimony. You should never come to church empty-handed. You need to be ready anytime. You never know what's going to happen in church. Amen. The electricity might go out and we might just have a testimony service. You need to be ready to stand up and say, I'm going to testify about the goodness of the Lord. You ought to have something in your spirit that you can bring to the house of God. They brought no oil with them, but the wise. Verse number 4 says, but the wise took oil, listen, in their vessels with their lamps. What is that saying? The wise not only brought oil, they brought extra. Why would you bring extra? Because you never know when you're going to need it. Hallelujah. I'd rather have it and not need it than to need it and not have it. Hallelujah. Praise God. They said, I'm just in case. You never know when that trumpet is going to sound. You never know when it's going to be the last service. They brought extra oil. Somebody shout hallelujah. You see, one thing we need to understand about the church, this is more than a social club. This is more than just a gathering place. I would compare the church to a filling station. Yeah, that's a good one. The church is a filling station, not a service station. See, some of y'all don't even know the difference. Because you don't see filling stations hardly anymore. I mean, I don't know the last time I've seen a filling station. But anybody here with gray hair, anybody here got some age on them, you can remember filling stations back in the day. A filling station. What was a filling station? A filling station was when you drove your car up on the lot to get gas. They had like a little hut situated on the lot. Inside that hut was an attendant. And all day long, he just waited for cars to come. And when a car pulled up to the gas tank, he would come out of that hut and he won't even let you get out your car. He'll walk right up to your door, tap on your window. What you need? What you need? You roll down your window, you say, fill her up. Man, he'll go and get the gas pumping. Man, he'll start pumping gas in your car. And when he was done, he wasn't done. He'll walk up to you and say, pop the hood. You pop the hood, he put the hood up, he reach around and get that dirty rag in his back pocket, and he'll start messing around with your wires and checking your fluid. And when he got done with that, he'll take out this little instrument and check all your tire pressure. That's a filling station. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And church is a filling station. What were you saying, Brother Easter? I'm saying the gas you got last week, you can't keep living off of that. Hallelujah. The blessing you got last Sunday, you can't keep living off of that. You got to keep coming back. You got to keep coming back. Fill me up again. Fill me up again. Check my inside. Make sure I've got pressure. Hallelujah. Because brothers and sisters, this is nothing to play with. We got to make sure we got everything we need to make the journey. Now, the foolish, they came. They brought no oil. And I'm scratching my head thinking all 10 of them was waiting for the bridegroom. Why would anybody be waiting with no oil? And the only thing came to me was they didn't bring no oil, Pastor, because they did not think he was coming that night. They didn't think he was coming that night. Surely he's not coming tonight. We've been waiting a long time for the bridegroom, and they tarried and they slept, and it took a long time. It's still taking a long time. It's 2024. We've been waiting a long time, but we don't know. Is he coming tonight? Some of y'all come to church. You're sitting here with no expectation he could come tonight. And after a while, you get so used to that attitude, you walk into church, you hardly pay attention, you get distracted, your body's here, your mind's someplace else. You get a chance to ask God for forgiveness, you won't do it because you think I got next week to do it. You don't get right with God because the devil tell you, you got more time. You don't think that God is coming back for you tonight, so you don't bring no oil with you. Because you don't think he's coming back. Oh my goodness, What if we knew for certain? What if we knew for certain tonight was the night that the trumpet would sound? If we knew for sure the dead in Christ would rise, and we who are alive and remain could be changed and be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, if we knew it tonight, how different would your praise be? How different would you pay attention to the word? How different would your attitude be if you knew he was coming tonight? But folks gather in the house of the Lord and have no idea. They think, oh, he's way off somewhere. It's not going to happen tonight. And Jesus said, in the hour that you think not, that's when the Son of Man is coming. Do you think he's coming tonight? Do you think he's coming tonight? You do. Don't be lying to me. Do you think he's coming tonight? Do you think he's coming tonight? Most folks say, well, nobody know the day or the hour. You know what you're saying? You don't think he's coming tonight. But that's the time he's coming. And I'm telling you, every second that he gives us, every breath that we breathe, we need to live every day as if this is the day. We need to check ourselves and say, Lord, don't let me be lost. Lord, don't let me miss the rapture. God, I gotta be ready. Check my oil. Check my oil. I gotta be ready. Hallelujah. At all times, I gotta walk in the spirit, talk in the spirit, live in the spirit. Hallelujah. It is so important that we don't take what we have casually. Because when he comes, it's going to be in the twinkling of an eye. No warning. And it's going to happen just once. And only they that are ready. So God, help me to be ready. Verse number 5. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And then midnight came. And at midnight, I wonder sometimes, what time is it? Really, what time is it? Not according to your watch, but according to God's watch. What time is it? I would suspect it's somewhere like 2 minutes to midnight. The Apostle Paul said, it's closer than you think. It's closer than what we first believed. We are closer to the coming of the Lord now than we've ever been. And if you don't believe that, something's wrong with you. Prophecy is unfolding all around us. The signs of the times are all around us. Jesus said, how can you look at the clouds and tell it's going to rain, but you can't see the signs and tell that Jesus is coming? What's wrong with you? Church, you better wake up. Visit a friend, you better wake up. This is no time to go to sleep. This is no time to play games. Come on, we got to be ready for the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. At midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And all those virgins jumped up, trimmed their lamps. And my, oh my, 5 were foolish. 5 were wise. Now, this is where I see the story goes. My mind is like a movie screen. When I study the Bible, I picture it. I see it like a movie in my mind, and it impacts me because it's powerful. And this is the way I interpret what happened. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Boy, they woke up out of their sleep. The Bible says, church, it's high time to wake up. It's high time to shake yourself. They woke up out of their sleep. Oh, Lord, did you hear that? Heard it? You heard it? Oh, my goodness. They made the announcement. The bridegroom is coming. We got to go now. Oh, my goodness. This is what we've been waiting for. This is what we've been singing about. This is what pastor been preaching about. And now it's here. Come on, let's go. They grab their lamps. It's pitch black out there. Check the oil. Oh, I got plenty. I got extra. The foolish, oh my goodness. I ain't got enough oil. what? Didn't know he was coming tonight. Well, you should be ready, but I didn't know. We ain't got enough oil. I ain't got enough oil. And they looked over to the wise, who not only had oil, they had extra oil. Hey, guys, we don't have enough oil. Could y'all give us some of yours? They said, you ain't getting none of my oil. Oh, no. See, you should have got your oil when you had a chance. See, but you thought you was all cute and everything, and you didn't want to pray, and you was laughing while the preacher was preaching, and you were making fun of people, and you kept acting like you got it all together. But now you want my oil? I prayed for my oil. I fasted for my oil. I dedicated myself for my oil. No, I can't give you none of my oil because it may not be enough for both of us. I can't give you none of my oil. Now, we understand in the Bible, the oil represent his spirit. David said he anointed my head with oil until my cup was running over. When God begins to pour the oil on you, he don't know when to stop. It just overflows and overflows. You are filled to the max until the oil is spilling everywhere. Hallelujah. The oil is a type of the Holy Ghost. See, it's the oil that causes the fire to burn. You don't have no oil, you're not going to have no fire. It's the oil that lubricates the friction that you face every day in life. I don't know how people can go to work without the Holy Ghost. I don't know how kids can go to school without the Holy Ghost. I don't even know how you can exist without the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost. It's your helper. It's your comforter. Hallelujah. He'll come beside you and live inside you. Hallelujah. You got to have it. Give us some of your oil. I cannot give you none of my oil. See, the oil is the Holy Ghost. And I can't give you the Holy Ghost. I'm sorry. If you need some money, we can take up an offering. Help you out. If you needed some clothes, you know, the sisters can get together and come up with something. But honey, when it comes to the oil, not so. Can't give you none of this. Because there is nobody ever been born that can give you the Holy Ghost. Nobody. No man can give you the Holy Ghost. The greatest of all the prophets, Jesus said, was John the Baptist. And John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water under repentance. But there's coming one after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. The only one that can give you the Holy Ghost is the baptizer of the Holy Ghost. And in the last days, he is pouring out his spirit on all flesh. God is pouring out the Holy Ghost. I can't give you the oil, even if I wanted to. But they said, no, let that be enough for us and you. See, what y'all got to do, y'all got to go back to where you first got it. And I see those five foolish girls. Oh, my goodness. Honey, where did we get the oils from? Where did we get the oil? I think we got it from Walmart. I believe we did. Well, yeah, we got it from Walmart. Well, we gotta go to Walmart and get some oil. Well, you better hurry up. Okay, hey guys, we're going to Walmart and we're gonna get some oil. And we're gonna get a whole lot this time. Don't y'all go nowhere. We be right back. And the five foolish girls, they started running to Walmart. We gotta get there, y'all. Come on, girl. Don't worry about what people looking at you. We got a mission. We got to get the oil. Man, they start running. Hurry up. Hurry up. Man, then they got to run in their stockings. Don't worry about them running in your stockings. We got to get the oil. They running, man. They running. They acting like they should have been in church. See, some folks don't want to run in church. They don't want to shout in church. They're worried about what somebody going to say or somebody looking at them. I ain't worried about none of y'all. I ain't thinking about none of y'all. Hallelujah. Ain't nobody here went to Calvary for me. I got to praise him. I got to worship him. I got to, hallelujah. It don't matter what somebody else said. You go ahead and praise the Lord on your own. You should have done it when you had a chance. Now they're desperate. Now they're desperate. They running, man. Hurry up. They started sweating. Wait a minute. Women don't sweat. They perspire. And they started perspiring. And they bust up into the Walmart, man. Walmart crowded with people. But they don't care. They only got one thing on their mind. We got to get oil. They runs into Walmart. Where's the oil? Everybody look, what's wrong with them?
They look Pentecostal.
Where's the oil? Ma'am, aisle number 8. My goodness. Come on, y'all. Aisle number 8. We can't delay. We can't delay. Hurry up. They go to aisle number 8, and they see oil. And they see all kinds of oil. All brands of oil. I never thought there was so many different types. Crisco oil, peanut oil, olive oil. My goodness, there's so many brands. There's so many types. But the question is, will any oil do? Let me put it to you this way. Will any church do? Mm-mm. Just because it got a steeple, that don't mean it's the church. Just because it got stained glass windows, that don't mean it's the church. Just because it got a parking lot full of cars, that don't mean it's the church. You better make sure you're in the right church. Jesus said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. He didn't say, I'm going to build my churches. I'm going to build my church. There's only one church. You better make sure you're in the right one. Better make sure you're in the right one. Every church is not his. Don't accept no substitutes. You got to get the right stuff. Oh, man. How do we know which one is the right one? God always sends somebody to help you know. So here's a man. He's really an angel. They don't know it. He don't look like an angel. He like a regular man. He got a little grocery buggy, and he's walking past the girls. Oh, excuse me, ladies. The oil y'all looking for, it's not on this aisle. What? Aisle number 4, the industrial section. There's more oil? Yeah. Come on, y'all. Aisle number 4. Wow. Hardware section. Oil. Oh, my goodness. Look at all this oil. Wow. I didn't know there were so many choices. Why, there's Quaker State. So many types of oil. Let me ask you a question. Will any oil do? Will any oil do? You've got to get the right stuff. Don't settle for substitutes. Don't settle for lookalikes. Don't settle for almost got it. You better make sure you got what they got. You better make sure that what you got, hallelujah, is sanctified and worded in the scripture. Make sure your salvation is based on Bible. Because there's so many ways out here. When I first got in church, I was in a little Bible study class. My pastor gave us homework. And he said, I want you to go to the yellow pages. Now, that'll tell you how long ago that was. He said, I want you to go to Yellow Pages, and I want you to look up church. And I want you to pick 3 churches out of there. And I want you to call each church and ask to speak to the bishop or the pastor, whoever's in charge. And when you get that person on the phone, tell them who you are and that you're doing a homework assignment. And your assignment is to ask them a question. What must I do to be saved? That's it. And write down their answers. And if they don't tell you what they told you, hallelujah. I don't care how many degrees you got, how many years you've been in Bible college, how you study Hebrew and Greek and Latin. I don't want none of that stuff. You better come back telling me what's in the word. Hallelujah. I don't want to know your opinion. I don't want to know what grandmama told you. I want the word of God more than anything. It's got to be in the book. No. Any kind of oil will do. Oh, we're so confused. So many choices. And here comes that man in the buggy. He's an old man. Ladies, you're on the right aisle. But the oil you're looking for is right there on that shelf, right there. That's it. That's the oil you need. They go down and they look at it. This it? Yeah. They pick it up. Oh. 3-in-1. You better get the right stuff. I want that 3-in-1 oil. I want that 3-in-1. When you got the Father, you got Jesus. When you got the Son, you got Jesus. When you got the Holy Ghost, you got Jesus. 3-in-1. I want the right stuff. I don't want tradition. I don't want Baptist. I don't want Methodist. I don't want Catholic. I don't want Mormon. I don't want any number that's out there. I want what's in the book. I want what's in, I don't care the name of your church. I don't care your organization. I want what's written. It is written. It's gotta be written. Hallelujah. When you stand before God, he ain't gonna ask you what group you were with. He's gonna have this same word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but this word, it's already settled in heaven. You got to line up to what's in the word. Somebody say amen. Oh, hallelujah. So, man, they get a box. No, get two boxes. Just empty the shelf. Get all of it, child. Put it on this thing here. We got to get back. We got to get back. Hurry up. They loaded up this thing, man. They had boxes of oil. We ain't going to miss out this time. We got enough and some. Hurry up. Boy. Trying to get back. Oh, heel broke. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Don't worry about your heel, girl. Come on. Come on. All their curls then turned into afros. Man, they all full of sweat. Man, they all dishevel. They look like they've been in a Pentecostal church service. Lord have mercy. And they get back. Oh, we made it, y'all. We made it. Now we got enough. Now we got what we need. Woo. Okay, guys, we back. Oh, man. Hey, guys, we back. Hey, guys. Guys. Oh, no, they didn't. I know they didn't. Did they leave us? We told them we'd be right back. We told them we'd be right back. I can't believe they left us. I'm going to tell y'all something right now. I love y'all. But when that trumpet sounds, I ain't waiting on none of you. I already got my reservation. Already got my ticket. This train is bound for glory, and it don't go in reverse. When this train starts to chugging, I'm gonna get my seat. Come on with me if you want to. Stay where you at if you want to. But I'm going. I got to be there. I've got to see Jesus. Hallelujah. I've got to make it. You got to make it. Hallelujah. And those five foolish girls couldn't believe it. I thought they were our friends. They left us. It's all over. No, it ain't, child. I don't care what nobody say. I'm going anyway. What? I'm going anyway. And you got some people got that attitude. I don't care what pastor say. I'm going to heaven anyway. Amen. Can't nobody tell me I'm not saved. Even if I'm not saved, can't nobody tell me I'm not saved. You can't judge. Oh, that's the devil's most. He love that. They take it out of context. It ain't what it mean. You can't judge me. I'm going to heaven. Nobody perfect. I'm going. Okay, well, let's go, y'all. Let's go. So the five foolish virgins, they got there. They got there. They got to where the wedding was at. Man, they look like a saint. They look like they were Pentecostal. See, you ain't never been in a Pentecostal church until you messed your hair up. You ain't had no service until your necktie done got loose and you done sweated through your jacket. That's church right there. You ain't had church till you're walking out to the parking lot and people wondering, can you drive? Can you drive? These people are drunk. Not as you suppose. This is the Holy Ghost. This is they drunk in the spirit. They intoxicated. Oh, glory to God. I wish I had some apostolic holics in the house. Somebody said, give me a drink. Give me a drink. Hallelujah. Well, guys, we're here. We made it. How do I look? Ooh, you look awful. I don't care. I don't care. We're here. We're here now. Oh, but the wedding's already over. I'm looking in the window. Oh, my goodness. They already partying. And you know ain't no party. Like a Holy Ghost party. Because a Holy Ghost party don't stop. You ain't never had fun till you've had fun in the Holy Ghost. You ain't never danced until you danced in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Oh, they're dancing and singing in there. Oh, my goodness. Well, come on. We here. We here. Yeah, but we late. Well, you know, it's better to be late than never. Not with God. Because he's a on time God. You don't get to set the schedule. He sets the schedule. You don't get to make the appointment. He makes the appointment. He calls your number, and you need to be ready when he calls you. Man, they all late. Knock on the door, girl, come on. Ooh, trying to fix the hair. Oh, my goodness. Wow, we made it, y'all. The door opens. They was expecting a butler, a maid. It was Jesus. When they looked at him, they were like, oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You know that fake praise? Some of y'all got that fake praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You worship with one eye closed, one eye open. Looking at you? Glory. The Lord looked at him and said, excuse me, can I help you? Lord, it's us. It's all five of us. We're supposed to have been with the other girls, but you know how things happen, Lord. But we're here. I don't know you. Lord, I know you know me. Lord, this is me. I've been in church since I was that little. Come on. I sang in the choir. When I was real young, I was on the quiz team. And I know I didn't live like I should, but you God, you know everybody. How can you not know me? And see, that's where she messed up. Because he won't talk about that kind of no. It's not that he didn't know you. Because he knows you. He knows your uprising, your down sitting. He knows when you come in, when you go out. He knows your thoughts before they come to your mind. He knows you, but that's not what he was talking about. is another kind of no. He's talking about that no that was spoken in the Garden of Eden when God took Eve and presented her to Adam. And the Bible says Adam knew Eve, his wife. What that mean? They had intimate relationship. That's what God wants more than your money. That's what he wants that more than just your little lifted up hand. He wants an intimate relationship with you. He wants to talk to you, and he wants you to talk to him. He don't want to be treated like medicine in a medicine cabinet. You call on him just when you feel you need him. He wants an everyday relationship. He wants to walk with you and talk with you and tell you you are his own. He wants to go with you to school. He wants to be with you on your job. He wants to live in your apartment. He wants an intimate relationship. He said, I never knew you. We never had that. You never wanted that. Depart from me. And man, the agony and the horror of hearing those words, that's something you don't want to hear. The Lord said, depart from me. I never knew you. I never had a relationship with you. You never spoke to me. We never really got to know each other. Don't let that happen to you, friend. He wants a relationship with you. And the Bible says, and the door was shut. And when God shuts a door, there's no man that can open it. So, Lord, what are you telling us here tonight? Every last one of us have an invitation to not only go to the wedding, but be active participants in the ceremony. Every one of us have a calling to be ready to meet the Lord. He said, watch therefore. Put your spiritual antennas up and be sensitive to what's happening. All around us, signals are coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And you can't afford just to settle for being religious, because just being religious is not enough to save your soul. You've got to be saved. We talked about that this morning. What must I do to be saved? Let me tell you real quick what you need to do. Number one, you need to have faith. You got to believe this. When you believe it, you got to put some works to it. Faith without works is what? Is dead. Something is required of you. You got to repent. You got to repent. That means you got to make up your mind to change. You can't say, Lord, I believe, and go back to the bar. Lord, I believe, and go back to ignoring him. Lord, I believe, and go back to living your life as if he wasn't a part of it. You've got to change. You've got to make that turn. Repent. Then after you repent, you got to bring fruit. Meat for repentance, John the Baptist says. You repented? Show me you repented. You need to get baptized. Every one of you. Jesus said, teach all nations, all nationalities, all ethnic groups. Hallelujah. Don't matter if you're in Timbuktu. This is for you. He that believe and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Be saved or be damned. Which be will you be? Amen. And it's the same for everybody. All the Mormons got to come this way. All Jehovah's Witnesses, you got to come this way. All Catholics, you got to come this way. All Baptists, y'all got to come this way. All Apostolics, y'all got to come this way. It don't matter what label you wear. There's only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one gospel, one way to heaven. And it's for everybody, 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 everybody. What do you need to do? You need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's right. That's the name. The name of the Father is what? Got Bible for it? Yes, I do. John 5:43. Jesus said, I come to you in my Father's name. Why would Jesus come in the name of his Father? The Bible says, because he inherited a name that is higher than any name that is named. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow Every tongue shall confess. Watch this. To the glory of the Father. Because that's the Father's name. And in the name of the Son. What's the name of the Son? Matthew 1:21. You got to have scripture for this. The angel came to Mary and said, thou shalt call his name Jesus. That's the name of the Son. And in the name of the Holy Ghost. What's the name of the Holy Ghost? I knew y'all were going to say that. You got scripture for it? Oh, yes. John chapter 14, verse 26. Jesus said, I pray the Father to send you another comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. And when he comes, he's coming in my name. There's only one name whereby we must be saved. There's power in the name. There's deliverance in the name. There's healing in the name. There's authority in the name. Salvation is in the name. That's why you got to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. My religion don't do that. Get out of that religion. My pastor don't do that. Get out of that church. And get in a church that's doing it the way they did it. There's only one Lord. And there's only one faith. How many baptisms? There's only one. You better make sure you got the right one. You better make sure what you got is in the scripture. Somebody said, well, I got baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and I got scripture right here. I say, that's right. But show me anywhere where somebody got baptized that way. Show me where somebody, because there are people getting baptized in the Bible. Show me one place where somebody got baptized and they said, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, you won't find it. It's not there. Because they had sense enough to know he wasn't saying, repeat after me. He was saying, do what I told you. Baptize in the name, in the name, in the name. You better get it right. Because the rapture is only going to come once. And the Bible says he's coming for people. That's for his name. Glory to God. If I were you tonight, and I love the Lord, and I live for God, and I have not yet been baptized in his name, I wouldn't leave this place tonight without it. I don't want to be almost saved. I don't want to be halfway saved. I want to be saved. I want that name applied to my life. And when you get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, the scripture says is for the remission of sins. Acts 2 verse 38, remission, that means the blood is applied and all your sins are washed away. I baptize you in the name of the Father, ain't no blood. I baptize you in the name of the Son, there's no blood. I baptize you in the name of the Holy Ghost, no blood. But when that preacher said, I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ, John said, they're free to bear record, the spirit, the blood, and the water, and these three agree in one. When you get in the water, the spirit comes. When you get in the water, the blood comes. When you call on that name of Jesus, hallelujah, we are the people of his name. You've got to be baptized in his name if you're going to be ready. If you're going to be ready. Jesus said, watch therefore. Be on the alert. Just because you're saved, don't take your salvation for granted. Work out your salvation. Work it out with fear and trembling. Because the saddest thing to do is to go to hell and realize you didn't have to be there. Amen. Let's stand together. Give us your oil. The five wise couldn't give it. There's no person in this room that can give us the oil. There's only one that can give us the oil. And that's the Lord God Almighty. And he's here right now. So what I'm going to do in this segment of the service is called the altar call, the altar service. This is when the preacher gets finished. And then he turns the service over to you. Now, you've got to do something with what you just heard. And you're going to do one or two things. You're going to submit to it, or you're going to ignore it. That's the only choice you got. You're either going to say yes, or you're going to say no. And you're not saying yes or no to me. You're saying it to him. If you say, I hear what you're saying, I got to give this more thought, I'll be back. What you're really saying is no. If you say, let me study this a little more, what you're saying is no. I'll come back next Sunday. Next Sunday's not promised. God's calling your number now. And your answer is no. We got water. We got a baptistry here. We are ready all the time. That's how important it is. We don't have baptismal Sunday. Every Sunday is baptismal Sunday. Every time we gather in God's house, we got a baptistry ready. That's how important it is. We have a change of clothes for you. If you come, you weren't expecting this. God knew you'd be here. And he's ready for you. We got clothes for you to change into. If that's your choice, that's your desire. Everything you need is already here. All God is looking for is a willing vessel. Somebody to say, okay, if it's in the word, I'm going to do it. And that's why it's so important that we get back to Bible. Because a lot of false prophets are out there. A lot of people appealing to your flesh and your emotions and how you feel and all that kind of stuff. Blessing, 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 blessing. And that's all you want is blessing, 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 and nobody getting saved. But tonight, you can be saved. What if he was coming tonight? What excuse will you have? Are you ready? Because those are the ones he's coming back for. Do you have enough oil? Because you need the Holy Ghost to be ready for the rapture. Because the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same spirit that's going to change our mortal bodies. And you got to have that spirit in you. Are you full of the Holy Ghost? Are you a half a tank? You can be filled tonight. And so this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give this altar call the way I saw Jesus give an altar call. And he does it well every time. The Lord spoke to a great multitude of people, great crowd. And in this instance, the Lord finished his sermon, and this is what he said. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Holy Ghost, which was not yet given, because he had not yet been glorified. And so that being my guide, that's the kind of altar call I'm going to give tonight. And so I say to you, my friends, if there's anybody in this room that's thirsty, I invite you to come to the front of the church and stand right along the front. Who come? Anybody that's thirsty. But my life ain't all together. He didn't say that. He said thirst. Thirst means desire. Brother, you mind? I want you to stand. Remain standing. Gather up close. Who is this for? Thirsty people. I've been in church 60 years. Are you thirsty? That's the only prerequisite. Thirst means desire. I gotta want it. God will never give you what you don't want. Can't nobody make you receive the Holy Ghost. Can't nobody compel you to receive it. You know what? You gotta want it. You gotta want it. Sincerely, from your heart, you gotta want it. And that's what the Lord is saying. If any man, woman, thirst, let him come. Come on up a little closer. Come on up a little closer, because people behind you want to. Yes, beautiful. Beautiful. Now I'm going to ask that no music, and I want y'all to pay attention, because I'm going to do something I don't usually do, but I think it's good. I'm going to give you some instruction, especially for those that may have never experienced this before. Some of you already have the Holy Ghost. And there are those that have heard about it and never experienced it before. So this, I hope, will help you. Jesus said, let them come. You've done that already. You've done that part. Then the next part, he says, let them come unto me and drink. Right? Now, what's your name? Who? Grace. Amazing. Grace, I'm going to ask you a very important question. You got to get this right, Grace. You'll mess me up. Grace, let me ask you a question from your own experience. Have you ever seen anyone drink with their mouth shut?
No.
No. You've never seen anybody drink with their mouth shut. You've never seen anybody. You've never drunk anything with your mouth shut. You try to drink water out of a fountain with your mouth shut, you're going to get wet lips. That's all you're going to get. What you got to do? You got to open your mouth. You got to open your mouth. To be filled requires you opening your mouth. People come up to the altar, I want to receive the Holy Ghost, and they stand there with their mouth shut. It's not going to happen. You have to open your mouth. And drink. Drink. How do you drink in the Spirit? This is how you drink in the Spirit. You open your mouth and you fill your mouth with praise. Yes, you fill your mouth with praise. Praise. I'm not comfortable. I don't know how to praise the Lord. When you tell God how awesome he is. Lord, I love you. God, you're awesome, Lord. God, you are mighty. God loves that. He's attracted to praise. The more you praise him, the closer he gets. Amen. And the Bible says his spirit inhabits the praises of his people. So that means the more praise you send up, the more spirit comes down. Somebody wrote a song. When the praises go up, the glory comes down. So in essence, what are you doing when you open your mouth? And maybe sometimes you can't think of what to say. I don't know what to say. You could just say hallelujah. But mean it from the depths of your soul. Hallelujah. 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 And when you're doing that, you're sending up praise and you're drinking in spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. Glory, Lord. Hallelujah. Woo. And when that spirit begins to fill you up, Jesus said it's going to come out like living water. It's going to overflow out of your mouth while you are speaking. And when that happens, you're going to be speaking in an unknown tongue. That's how you know you have the Holy Ghost. You begin to speak in an unknown tongue. What do you mean unknown tongue? It's not as difficult as you think. The main thing it takes is faith. I'm speaking in tongues right now. I'm speaking in tongues right now. Anybody know what tongue it is? Thank you. See how simple that was? Speaking in tongues is speaking in language. When you get the Holy Ghost, it's an unknown language. And the only way you can speak in an unknown language is that you got to yield. God ain't going to force your tongue. He's not going to take it over. You got to yield. You got to loose your tongue and cooperate with the Spirit. Let me demonstrate. I'm going to speak in another tongue. Pay attention. Watch this. I'm a star. Bonus this. Oh, hey, girl. I thought it was an angel at first. Like, Feliz Navidad. Now, that's all I know. But did you see what just happened? I had to yield one language in order to speak the other one. Because you can't speak in two languages at the same time. So I had to make a choice. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord. Hallelujah. And now, Lord, I'm going to yield my tongue. I'm going to loose my tongue. And whatever sounds flow out of me, it's coming not from here, but it's coming from the Spirit that's filling me up. And I'm not going to understand it because it's not an earthly language. It's an unknown tongue. It's a new tongue. It's a whole God, God, shut up. It's a Holy Ghost tongue. Whoa, my goodness. Hallelujah. And it's not something you have to tarry on. It's already here. The Comforter has already come. The Spirit of God is already here. And there are several people already filled with the Holy Ghost. Right now, if I snap my finger, you can begin talking in tongues right now because you already have it. And there are others here, you're already so close, but you got to cooperate with the Spirit and let God have his way. Don't think. That's what messed people up. Shut this off and just flow. The Bible says their tongues was like fire. And I told one brother, I said, man, when you get to that place, when I lay my hands on you, I want you to imagine your tongue like a flickering flame of fire. And just let the sounds roam from deep inside of you. And he was like, really? That's all I got? I said, cooperate with the Holy Ghost. And when you begin to speak in tongues, don't listen to yourself. Don't listen to the devil. You just let that flow out of you straight to the kingdom. You will speak in tongues. You will be talking in an unknown language. And it don't take 5 minutes, 30 minutes. It don't take a half an hour. Hallelujah. Because it's already here. Would you close your eyes? I want you to look inside your heart. Father, in the name of Jesus, we confess our sins. But we are not worthy, O Lord. We are not worthy. We never can be worthy. But Lord, we ask that you would forgive us of every sin. God, we're sorry for being stubborn and hard-headed, and we're sorry for walking in the flesh, doing what we want to do, Lord. We admit to you, Lord God, we know we can do better. We want to do better, and we ask you to forgive us now, Jesus. Forgive us, Lord. We are wrong. You are right. We are filthy. You are holy. We are unrighteous. You are righteous. Cover us now. Cover us, O Lord. Forgive us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I want to be saved. I want to be right with you. Forgive us, God. In the name of Jesus Christ. And let the church say amen. Say amen again. Clap your hands to the Lord. He's forgiven you. He has forgiven you. That's it. Now you say, that's it? That easy? Yes, just that easy. Because God is anxious to forgive. He wants to forgive. He loves you. He wants to forgive. So now you are forgiven. Do you receive it? Say amen. Now, let me tell you something. Anybody that's been forgiven ought to be happy. And that's important. That's another component. The Bible says, with joy shall you draw water out of the well. With joy. Amen. This is a wonderful thing. It's a gift. You don't come to God and receive this, your face looking like this. God's like, what's wrong with you? I'm about to give you the greatest gift you could ever have. With joy. So we're going to fill this place up with praise. You're going to open your mouth. You are going to open your mouth, and you're going to send up praise to the Lord. I love you, Jesus. Or if you can't think of nothing to say, hallelujah, and really mean it. Now, as you're doing that, you're being filled. His Spirit fills. And as you are being filled, you're going to come to the place where you know when you're ready. You loose your tongue. And let a new language flow out of your innermost being, and you use that language to praise God, and you'll be speaking in an unknown tongue. It's just that simple. It's just that powerful. It's just, I want you to lift your hands right now. Man, it's all over the place. Lift your hands right now, brother. Open your mouth. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray. And receive ye the Holy Ghost.
open, open. Oh, go, 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 go. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, come on. It's right there in your mouth. It's all, it's already there. It's already there. Ah, with stammering lips and another tongue in the name of Jesus. In the name of God, that's it, man. It's moving all over the building. It's moving all over the building. That's it. Come on. Speak it out. Speak it out. Speak it out loud. Speak it out loud. Don't be afraid. Don't be embarrassed. Speak it out. Ah! Oh. Speak it out loud. That's it. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Oh, yes. That's it. That's the Holy Ghost language. You got to open your mouth. You got to open your mouth. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming.